Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. I don't want to make the playoffs with the Phillies. I decided it yesterday watching those games in Chicago. I'm out. I don't want this team to make the playoffs. I think it'd be worse if they do than if they make it. Long term, have to figure out that this core is not a winning core and take a sledgehammer to it when the season ends. Agree, disagree. And on the Eagles for Sunday, Doug Peterson is back. We were playing Doug Peterson explicit history. If you want to hop in, we'll play it for you, give you a highlight, a moment in Doug's tenure, and you tell us the name that is looped at. All right, we'll get to NFL Picks, Guess the Takes. It's actually week one for us on the show of NFL Picks, Guess the Takes, but it's week four of the season. Now, I find this to be a little bit bad timing for the show. I think this is the hardest week to pick the games.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. If we had, you know, started in week one or week two, I bet we would have gotten all those games right.
Well, maybe not all of them, but maybe most of them or some of them or a decent amount. But I think it's a really hard week to pick the games. Give you some picks coming up and I guess the takes for week number four. But first, I've got to play this for you. Michael Irvin on the Rich Eisen show earlier this week. It's watching Michael Irvin and listening to Michael Irvin comment on the Eagles the last 6 months has been very interesting. He obviously thinks highly of them. We played it for you multiple times over the course of the offseason. He kept using the word dynasty when it comes to the Eagles. And now they're 3-0. Jalen Hurts is playing well. And you could just see he loves this kid. He loves where the Eagles are going. Listen to this. I was watching this wondering if Michael Irvin would need a paramedic to come in and help him out and get through this thing. Listen to Michael Irvin on the Rich Eisen show about Jalen Hurts.
I get chills thinking about it. He said, I said to all my playmakers, We cannot just feel the temperature in the room. We must be the thermometer. Oh, snap. Oh, do y'all get how great that is? Oh, snap. All of my playmakers. We can't just receive what's going on in the game. We going to set the tone every Sunday out here. And then they put that damn tape on every time one of them make a play. I saw Devontae Smith jumping up, taking balls down like he was the 6'5 Arthur Juan Brown. I said, oh, God, this is ugly. This is ugly. What is going on? And that quote, we cannot just feel the temperature in the room. We must be the thermometer. Something like that on top of them capes. Boy, I'm sorry. Somebody better do something about what I'm seeing.
That's the end is my favorite part. Somebody better do something about what I'm seeing. What does he mean by that?
I don't understand the analogy.
Hurts' analogy or his?
Hurts' analogy.
So they said it on the Fox broadcast. I think they had Hurts speaking. It was probably like a canned thing. I think Irvin misspoke.
Does he mean thermostat?
That's what Hurts said.
Okay, well, now it makes sense.
Like, we go in the room, we set the thermostat. We don't react to the temperature. We set it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing reacts better to temperature than a thermometer.
Thermometer, I know. He kind of butchered it, but he was. I think his reaction, his excitement was off of the actual thing that Jalen Hurts said.
Got it.
It is kind of a Jalen Hurtsy quote, right? The coffee bean, the thermostat. He's a walking.
The rat poison, all
yeah,
of it.
He's a walking quote book or, you know, a parable, whatever you want to call it.
What do you think he's like in real life?
I mean, obviously, I tend to think just watching those videos the Eagles put up of him in the locker room after the game, or like the, you know, what was the stuff he did in the offseason? He was fishing with Devontae or whatever, like they caught a shark or something, right?
Right.
I think he lets his guard down when he's with his guys, doesn't he? Because he's so like Nick Saban-y quote machine guy when he's with us.
Yeah, he must. And you see in the locker room, he's smiling and laughing and having fun, and he's so incredibly popular with everybody. He must be a cool guy. It's just, it's weird to me when I see him, and you know, most of our exposure to him is through press conferences and interviews, and he just comes off like a robot.
He does. It's different. For some reason, it doesn't rub me the way Russell Wilson is always rubbing. Because Russell Wilson does the same thing. He's completely fake, but like...
Have you tried a sandwich yet?
I have not. That is the most creepy... What is that? Why? Who decided this was a good thing?
I want to know who filmed it and said, you know what? That's the one. We got it.
Yeah. Most of the time, I think the internet is mostly rotting our brains and a waste of time. But that the memes that came out after Russell Wilson did that, what is he even holding? It's like is it a Subway wrap?
Whatever, it's his signature sandwich.
The
Danger Witch, I believe he called it.
But someone kind of took the video of it and put it the backdrop as the Dark Knight, and he's the Joker in that scene. He's Heath Ledger, where he was kind of creeping everyone out at the party, and then he told the story about how he got the scars in his face. It felt like it fit, like Russell Wilson is the Joker.
Offering you a sandwich that's spicy.
I feel like maybe next week on the show we should get the sandwich and try it on the air.
Watch out, though. It's spicy.
Well, yeah, that's what we heard. But, yeah, I think it's an interesting question about Hurts and, like, what he's really like. But I don't get, like, he doesn't annoy me with his canned, you know, hey, we got to be better. It didn't meet my standard. I don't know. I don't know what it is about him that it doesn't bother me. Russell Wilson bothers me. He's so over-the-top fake. Maybe it's because I think we realize Jalen Hurts is putting on a I'm the leader voice, but he's probably not like that. Russell Wilson just comes off as just annoying, corny.
Does it bother you, or does it surprise you now that the whole Legion of Boom was put off by Russell Wilson? Like the fact that him and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman didn't coexist that well?
It does not surprise me because they probably thought this guy's a loser and we're carrying him and he's getting all the credit and the money and we're over here doing all the work. All right. We haven't done this yet this season because we haven't had a show on a Friday night to do it the entire season. It is time for NFL picks and there it is. The music's back. It's officially football season. Those first 3 weeks, that was just, yeah, it was kind of just a start. But now for us, we got to give some picks here for the NFL for week number 4. All right, I'm going to go with 3 games that I like the most. Actually, I have 4 games I'll go with on Sunday afternoon and Sunday night. Here's the first one. And I don't love the idea of laying more than a field goal because the quarterback I'm laying it with the stinks. But the Steelers are hosting the Jets. Zach Wilson is back. Are we sure Zach Wilson's actually an upgrade over Joe Flacco? I'm not. And the Steelers get extra time to prepare for this game. Mike Tomlin, when he has extra time to prepare the last 5 years, is the best coach in football, wins the most. The Steelers are at home, off a loss, extra time to prepare. Zach Wilson is playing for the Jets. Now, can he make a throw or two that Joe Flacco probably can't? Yeah. But will he also throw the ball to the Steelers multiple times? I think he will. I'll go with the Steelers -3.5. The other game, and I'm confused why this game hasn't moved. Sunday morning, we got a London game on Sunday. Sunday morning, the Vikings and the Saints. If that's not a way to wake up on Sunday morning, pop on the Vikings and the Saints. Kirk Cousins and Andy Dalton. Because Jameis Winston is doubtful for this game with back and ankle injuries. He's unlikely to play, didn't practice in London the last couple days. Is Vegas telling us that there's no difference between Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton? The line hasn't moved. It was 3 this morning. It's 3 right now. It's likely to be Dalton starting on Sunday. I'm taking the Vikings in this game. The Saints have not looked very good. I mean, if not for a comeback in the fourth quarter, they're 0-3. They're not a good football team. And I think we're getting a Vikings win at a short number on Sunday. Vikings -3 in London over the Saints. And Kirk Cousins has one career game in London. Threw for almost 500 yards. Maybe Kirk's a morning guy. Right? Everyone's worried about him in primetime. Maybe Kirk's a morning player.
That's possible.
Not many morning games to play in, though, so he doesn't get much hype for that. Vikings minus the 3. Game number 3 I'm going with. I'm going with Dallas minus 3 at home. I think Cooper Rush is okay. You know, most backups come in, it's a disaster for a team, or, you know, maybe a week they get by like Dallas did the first week when they beat Cincinnati, but then they come back to earth. I think Cooper Rush is an above-average backup quarterback, and they get the Commanders at home. The stats on the Commanders, sacks allowed, obviously a lot last week against the Eagles, 9 of them. Compared to the Cowboys sacks for, like the Cowboys defense against the Commanders, it's night and day. The Commanders are going to start their fourth different center of the season on Sunday against a Cowboys pass rush that is getting crazy amounts of pressure with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. I'm going Cowboys minus the 3. I think Washington is terrible. If you look at DVOA, Football Outsiders ranks teams by DVOA, you know the Commanders are now last in the NFL? They're ranked as the worst team in football. I think that team is awful. And if they didn't beat the Jaguars in week one close, I don't know when they're getting wins. I think that the Commanders are a terrible football team. I'm going to go Cowboys minus 3 in that game. And then my final one, I'm going to take the Chiefs as an underdog. It's plus 1. It's basically picking the winner. I just think the Buccaneers offense right now is bad. It's a bad offense. And yeah, they'll get Mike Evans back, but is Godwin healthy enough to play? I don't know. Are they going to have more of those guys back on offense? I'm not sure. The offensive line isn't very good. I think Frank Clark and George Karlaftis kind of hurt, you know, Tom Brady's ability to have any time back there. I like the Chiefs bouncing back from a loss last week. And I think it's a big coaching advantage. Andy Reid against Todd Bowles. I like that for the Chiefs. So I will go my 4 NFL picks for this week. Steelers minus 3.5, Vikings minus 3, Cowboys minus 3, Chiefs plus the 1 against the Buccaneers. So those are my 3 picks. And let me guess the takes here. The takes you're going to be hearing on Monday across the NFL after the action this weekend. Take number 1. I think we're going to go back and have to talk about that Eagles-Saints trade. Because if the Saints lose on Sunday, they're 1-3. The Eagles own the Saints' first-round pick. I mean, I don't know how often it's happened in the NFL where a team has a top-10 pick and, you know, plays deep into the playoffs, whether it be an NFC title game, potentially a Super Bowl. Could you imagine if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl and have a top-5 pick from the Saints? I mean, yeah, teams may have traded up in the past or moved up in the draft to do something like that, but, like, owning a pick not in the top 5 or 10 of the draft and, you know, going deep in the playoffs, potentially a Super Bowl, that's very rare. Howie Roseman shorted the Saints. I thought there was always a chance the Saints could be bad, and then for some reason, I don't know what happened. Did everyone have a Saints spell in late August? Keyshawn Johnson's on ESPN's morning show saying they're the best team in the NFL. Peter King picked him as the number 1 seed. Why did anyone think the Saints were going to not miss Sean Payton? It still blows me away.
Imagine believing in Jameis Winston.
Who apparently isn't even better than Andy Dalton, according to Vegas. Same spread. Howie shorted the Saints. We're going to come back to that on Monday. Take number 1. Take number 2 is that Arthur Smith was the second best coach hired in the cycle last year, beyond Nick Sirianni. That coaching group last year, pretty rough so far, right? Staley, I still think, is interesting, but it's not working well right now as they're 1-2, and they could lose on Sunday without Keenan Allen playing again. What's the rest of that group last year? It was Robert Saleh. It was Nick Sirianni. It was Brandon Staley. It was Arthur Smith. Who am I missing? I thought it was more than 4. Was it just 4?
I thought it was more, okay. But maybe not.
But I think the Arthur Smith hire...
Oh, David Culley.
Why did I forget? Because he was already canned. Yeah, Culley. I think you're going to start hearing that Arthur Smith is the second best coach of that group. He got 7 wins out of the Falcons last year somehow. I don't understand how he did it. And I think they're kind of interesting this year. They're 1-2. They won last week at Seattle. But they were close against the Rams. They had a lead in the fourth quarter against the Saints. You know, you twist around a couple plays. They're 2-1 or 3-0. And I think they're live this week against the Browns at home. That is a 1 point or 1.5 point spread. I wouldn't be shocked if they won. Now, I don't think they have the right quarterback long term. It's Marcus Mariota, but maybe Arthur Smith is better than I thought he was last year.
Well, we forgot Urban Meyer as well.
Okay. So by default, man, Sirianni's lapping that group.
You know, Nick Sirianni is the only head coach that was hired last offseason that has a winning record.
Is history repeating itself? Didn't this happen with Doug in 17? Doug was ranked as one of the worst coaching hires of that group. And go back to that 2017 group. They stunk.
Yeah, the only one who has a winning record is someone who was hired midseason or promoted midseason. That's Rich Bisaccia.
And he doesn't count.
And he doesn't count.
Do you go, I'm trying to remember who 2017 was. 2017 coach, Adam Gase was definitely part of that. I believe that's the year he went to the Dolphins.
Adam Gase, Dirk Cotter.
Oh, my God.
Remember Dirk Cotter?
Yes.
Ben McAdoo.
Yeah.
Peterson. Anthony Lynn, I believe, got the job in San Diego that year.
Yep. Doug was the only one that had any real success. I mean, it might happen again. And I think Staley's smart and interesting, but they've got to start winning football games. They missed the playoffs last year. I know injuries are crippling them right now, but they've got to start winning games and have to start winning games now. They're playing against Texas this weekend. All right, the third take I think you're going to hear on Monday is I think we're going to kind of remember Patrick Mahomes' name in the MVP discussion. It's amazing how quickly everyone... Like, is Patrick Mahomes too boring for people after being so exciting for a while? So fast, everyone just moves off of Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes. All right, can he beat Patrick Mahomes in a big game? Then maybe I'll say he's better than him. Lamar's had a great start to the season. Even Jalen Hurts had a great start to the season. But it's amazing looking up at odds right now, NFL MVP odds, and seeing Patrick Mahomes fourth or fifth in some places. Again, this is Patrick Mahomes. He's been the best quarterback in the world since he walked in the NFL and started playing. Right now, Mahomes at FanDuel Sportsbook is fourth. It is Allen the favorite, Lamar second, Jalen Hurts third, Patrick Mahomes fourth. If Mahomes plays well on the road against a top defense and beats Tom Brady, I think those odds change when we get to Monday morning and we start remembering that, yes, Patrick Mahomes is still a legitimate MVP candidate. So the takes you'll hear on Monday: Arthur Smith, second best coaching hire in 2021. Howie Roseman really ripped off the Saints, and the Eagles might be trending towards a top 10 pick. And that Patrick Mahomes guy, yeah, he's still right there and should be at the top of the MVP list. We'll hear that on Monday. Those are NFL picks and guess the takes for week number 4 in the NFL. I would imagine the favorite on Monday for the MVP is the winner of the Allen-Jackson game, assuming they both put up normal numbers they usually do, because they're playing head-to-head. That feels like a big game for the MVP.
Yeah, I think it's weird that that's such a marquee matchup, and I feel no one's talking about it.
It's not a primetime game.
No.
Right? Is it just a 1 o'clock game?
I believe so. It's a 1 o'clock game on CBS.
Yeah, we won't even get it here because I believe the Eagles-Jaguars game is a CBS game.
It is. And I've never heard of the announcers doing the Eagles game.
Who we got?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, you don't know who it is?
No, I read it yesterday, but I forget their names.
When
I read it yesterday, I thought, I've never heard of these people.
At first, I thought that's what you meant. Then I thought you meant they had an announcer. Like, I haven't even heard who's calling the game. I don't know. Do they have announcers? I'm sure when they looked at the schedule before the season, they probably didn't think we have to send a big team to Philadelphia.
Spiro Dedes with Jay Feely. Obviously, I know Jay Feely.
I think Spiro Dedes is the play-by-play voice of the New York Knicks. I think I've heard Spiro Dedes on basketball before, and I've seen him do NFL. But so what? I wonder what the...
He's from Paramus, New Jersey. You familiar with Paramus, New Jersey?
I am familiar with Paramus. I mean, I haven't been to Paramus in a while. Does Spiro Dedes call the Knicks games? Is that what he does?
Yeah, full-time at CBS and New York Knicks.
Okay, so he's the Knicks broadcaster. So, well, I wonder what team that is. Like, when they map this week out, the CBS, NFL, Fox, you know, everyone, I wonder what team Spiro Dedes is on CBS. With all the shuffling around, I've lost track. I mean, I have no idea who's the... Like, I know, obviously, Romo and Nance, number one team. I know that Fox has Burkhart and Greg Olsen, number one team, until Tom Brady comes and takes the guy's spot. And then we know NBC with Tirico and Collinsworth and Amazon with Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels and Monday Night Football's Buck and Aikman. They're the best. But I don't even know who the next slotted teams are. I've lost
According
track.
According to Spiro Dedes' own Wikipedia page, he now calls games with Jay Feely as the number 6 announcing team for the NFL on CBS.
So let me ask you this. If you were creating your own Wikipedia, or you're having someone, you know, do it for you in like a way where people wouldn't realize it was you, wouldn't you leave that part out?
Yeah, I wouldn't put the number on. I would just say he calls it for the NFL on CBS and move on.
Yeah, and that makes you look good. He's one of the broadcasters every Sunday, the NFL on CBS. I feel like that make you look good. The number six team? We got the sixth CBS team on Sunday?
Well, Joe, I don't know if it does anything for you, but he used to be the full-time radio voice of the Lakers and then became the full-time radio voice of the Knicks.
So he's a big city guy.
And at one point was the number two voice of the SEC on CBS behind Vern Lundquist.
So he called, like, Ole Miss and Kentucky?
Yeah, probably a lot of Kentucky games. Yeah, had to be.
Yeah, so all right, he's a pro, but yeah, I'm not doing jumping jacks for that broadcasting team. Who did we have last week? Was Schlereth?
Mark Schlereth is just the worst.
I think Mark Schlereth is an. I actually don't. I've heard him before do interviews, like he's on Colin Cowherd's show. I don't think he's terrible, like just giving an opinion.
No, and I think he's an interesting person. I think he's bad in the booth. I think his analysis of in-game situations is incredibly poor.
Yeah, I think it's one of the worst. And I don't know what team he is on the Fox because they've lost a lot of people. He's way higher on that list he should be. Have you heard any of the Mark Sanchez stuff lately?
No, I have not.
He's been making some headlines. He's been using some, how do I want to put this? He like toes the line with jokes. People are wondering if he's writing his own material.
Him or Robert Griffin III?
But it's similar. It's similar because Robert Griffin III.
Griffin III has a lot of quotable moments every Saturday.
Yeah, but Sanchez has been doing it, but in the NFL. I kind of think Sanchez could be good at this.
It wouldn't shock me. Like the idea that quarterbacks who are usually incredibly charismatic and you have to be to have 53 millionaires kind of follow you around and fall into line behind your leadership, I can get where they would just be really good at this. And someone like Mark Sanchez who went to USC, who had varying degrees of success in the NFL, I can see him being really good at it.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. He's kind of charismatic. He played in Los Angeles in college at a program that at that point was more like an NFL team. And then he went to the Jets. Like, he gets the media stuff. He gets the way this works. I forget what he said a couple weeks ago, but someone was wondering if he's writing his own, like, he's throwing jokes into place.
Do you think he has a ghostwriter?
I don't know. He can't be clever enough on the fly to like make some sort of wacky comparison of something in real life. It's almost like a talk show host would do it. Like, this is kind of like that. But like in the middle of a play, I don't know. But I do wonder, though, as the Eagles keep winning, if we start to see more of the top broadcasting teams. The only thing is they don't have marquee matchups. So like, are you going to use, like next week they're in Arizona. It'll be a Fox game. Are they an underdog against Carolina? I think they're like a 1-point underdog. I hate that game.
That's also a 425 game, so you could end up with a top broadcast team.
A Burkhart next week, maybe?
Yeah, but I mean, the flip side is, if you want to look at their marquee matchups, they're usually all late-night games, right?
Right.
Like they play Green Bay. That's a big game. That's on Sunday Night Football.
So like the regular Sunday games they have left, the 1 or 4 on Sunday, I wonder how often they're going to start getting the top group because they're not playing great teams. Next week is the Cardinals. Obviously, the Cowboys is a Sunday night game, so we'll get to Rico here. You think for the Steelers game, because the Steelers are such a big brand, they'll send Nance and Romo here if the Eagles are undefeated? I could see that.
That wouldn't shock me. I'm trying to see what... It looks like they don't even have times out for the rest of the games.
That's a 1 o'clock game. Eagles-Steelers, 1 o'clock in Week 8.
I could see that.
So they have the Texans game. That'll be on Amazon. By the way, I kind of like the Amazon broadcast.
I was very impressed with it last night.
So last night was the first time I got to watch all of it because we've been here with Phillies games, and I've been watching it, and then we'll come on the air, and then the fourth quarter I'm just kind of watching without sound. I thought it was well done. And I think, like, you can't – like, when I had it on my iPad, I couldn't tell that I wasn't watching NBC, like, on my app for the cable.
Yeah, my one issue with streaming games is the delay, right? Like, if you stream the Phillies game on the NBC Sports app, you're about a pitch behind, 2 pitches behind.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, we had the Westwood 1 feed here, and I had the Amazon feed up on my iPad. It was maybe half a play behind. Like, it was just as quick as cable would be, which I thought was incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I like it. You know what? I got to say, before the season, I was very skeptical of Kirk Herbstreit doing NFL games. I just thought he was a college guy, and I had heard him say before he didn't get to watch much of the NFL because—and I understand that, right? Imagine doing NFL college game day, being at a campus all day, doing a game at 8 o'clock at night, and then flying home. I mean, I probably wouldn't watch the NFL either if I was Kirk Herbstreit. I'd be tired. I'd probably spend time with my family on Sunday. Like, you know, maybe casually watch it because whatever. But so I wondered if he'd be up on the game and the teams and the storylines. And I know a lot of it's preparation, but like it's like a institutional knowledge when you call NFL games every week. I didn't think he'd be good at it. I kind of like Herbie.
I just think he has a good personality.
He does.
And Al Michaels is a good enough professional and that he can kind of steer him in the right direction.
Yeah, well, I think Michaels...
my biggest worry was he would just keep comparing everybody to college.
Right.
Or just any of his knowledge of someone's past would be, oh, man, I saw him at Ohio State 8 years ago and he had 300 yards.
Yeah, I do think he has an advantage the next few years. Like all the kids he just watched in college, like the rookies right now, Trevor Lawrence, you know, if he was calling a Jaguars game, Hurts... because he just called all their big games for, you know, for many years at college. But I think it's pretty good. I also think the Eagles and the Jaguars games are pretty good on Sunday. I like the Eagles to win. I think it's closer, though. I think the Jaguars probably cover the number. But I like the Eagles to win on Sunday. And we'll see if the weather wreaks any havoc. Could be a sloppy game on Sunday. All right, we got Tom Kelly coming up next. You guys have a great night. Hopefully the Phillies are... All right, let's say this. When we get back here on... I guess Monday for the Phillies and the Astros. Where are the Phillies? Are how many are they up on the Brewers? Are they up?
God, I hope so.
So they each have. So the Phillies have three games left this weekend. The Brewers have two after tonight. It's 1-0 Brewers in the seventh inning tonight. Burns against Alcantara. I would say that, let's say the Brewers win. Are they going to win all three this weekend? I say the Brewers win all three against the Marlins. I think last night was the one game the Marlins got. The Phillies win all three or two of these three?
I would say two of these three. It's tough to sweep a doubleheader against anybody.
So they're tied Monday. They're tied. Phillies have the tiebreaker, but we go into the final series even. If the Brewers win all three.
The Brewers win all three and the Phillies win two. That'll put the magic number at three with three games to go.
Yeah.
Cool.
We go right down to the end. All right, Tom Kelly next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.